Who's praying? Knock, knock. There's a miracle waiting to happen. Hallelujah. Turn with me. And most of you will be able to repeat this without looking at the scripture. That's good. Get the word of God into your hearts, into your minds. Because we have read this scripture a few times now. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. And we'll read from verse 5 to 19. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all of the expectations of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go, tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Knock, knock. Who's praying? Let's just review one or two of the things which we shared the last few weeks. We noticed that the church were constant in prayer. They were agonizing in prayer. They were stretching prayer because their good mate, Peter the Apostle, was in prison. Why was he in prison? Any of the children can tell me? He was in prison because he loved Jesus. He couldn't keep quiet about telling other people about Jesus. Herod had said, "You preach about Jesus and you'll go to prison." That was a test for Peter, but Peter loved Jesus more than he loved any other person. He knew that he was saved for a purpose. He was saved from his sin. He had believed on Jesus, and he was determined to devote his life to Jesus, whether it was a long life or short life. And whatever the cost, he was not now going to disown Jesus. He had already done that. God had forgiven him. Now he was going to be supernaturally strengthened to face whatever the enemy was going to give him. Brothers, sisters, if you are called and your faith, life is put on the line, don't think in advance how you will stand. God, if you have been faithful to him in the small things as well as the big things, will supernaturally strengthen you. Hallelujah. So they were praying. We don't know all what they were praying. They weren't to be perfect prayers, no doubt, but they were praying to the Lord, and they were wanting God's will done. Hallelujah. They trusted God. That's what praying is all about. I'm trusting you, Lord. And I'm asking you that you will display your awesome power, that you will meet the needs as you see fit. I am still going to persist in prayer because you are so good. And thank you, Jesus. Do you know, Jesus is no longer on earth, is he? He lives within us by his Holy Spirit, but as it were in his resurrected bodily form, he's with the Father. And one of his present ministries, one of the things Jesus is doing for you, for me, right now, is he's our advocate. He's talking to God the Father on our behalf. He's carrying your prayers, my prayers, to God. He's interceding for us. As we said last week, God is batting for us. He's on our side. Glory to his name. We said something else last week. We said, so often, prayer is the last thing we do. We try everything else first, or we may phone up a friend, we may ask somebody else to pray for us, we may get the whole church to pray for us, but we ourselves, well, we're so, as it were, caught up in the present circumstance that we haven't really got faith to pray ourselves. Until we are at our wit's end, then we get on our knees. We pray as our last resort. And I said, really the question we should ask ourselves is, what have I lost through not praying? What have you lost through not praying? What has this church lost because it hasn't prayed as it should? Would this neighbourhood be different if this church, this part of Christ's vineyard, had taken consistently prayer seriously? Wow. May the Lord encourage us and stir us up. The James says, you haven't got because you've not asked. Ask that your joy may be full. Ask, receive, your joy may be full. Someone said, when I stop praying, coincidences also stop. When I stop praying, coincidences stop happening. The hymn writer, John Newton, who of course wrote Amazing Grace, wrote many hymns, and one of the hymns he wrote, there's a verse which says, thou art coming to a king, large petitions with you bring, for his grace and power are such, you can never ask too much. I like that. Oh, that we can really be stirred up and get to grips. So often, we begin praying and we may pray with zeal, we may pray with fervency, but then when the answer doesn't seem to come, not according to our timetable anyway, we get discouraged, don't we? We get disheartened and we may give up in praying. I think of the parable which Jesus said of the, which he told of the persistent widow woman. Remember? He began that parable by saying, men, women, boys, girls, ought always to pray and not give up. We ought always to pray and not lose heart. Every believer here this morning could stand up here and give testimonies how God has miraculously, how he's undertaken. We haven't got time to share testimony, but also, what have we lost through not persistently praying and seeking God's mind? Okay, back to our story in the Bible. It's a true story. It really happened. When was Peter released from jail? When was he released from prison? When was he miraculously set free? Let me tell you. It was the night before his likely execution. The next day he was likely to get the chop, and that would be his life over with. The Christians were praying, and it seemed nothing was happening, because Peter was still in prison. They kept praying. When the time was right, God answered. What have you been praying for? What have I been praying for? Maybe a loved one's salvation. Maybe a son, a daughter who's gone wild. I don't know what you may be praying for. Keep praying. We are tempted to give up. Perhaps you have. Prevail in prayer. Keep praying. Trust God's timing and God's faithfulness. You know, God's delays, you know this, but we don't always believe it. God's delays are not always denials. Sometimes we ask for silver and God sends his denials wrapped in gold. Blessed be his name. Hallelujah. Age to age he stands. Time is in his hands, this awesome God. Regardless of the answers, my second point, regardless of the answer, keep praying with faith in God. You see, the power of prayer consists in the knowledge that God is our God. That God is your God. That God is my God. This awesome God. This holy God. He is our God. Yes, sometimes God answers, but in different ways to what we had anticipated or even asked for, has he not? Sometimes he does. Then we may question whether we'd had sufficient faith, enough faith, or did we ask wrong? When that particular job doesn't materialize and other doors seem to be closed, but the one door that we didn't expect or particularly want to happen opened, then the challenge for us is to still put our faith in God. Far better to keep our faith in God than doubting him when he answers us in a different way. The enemy will want us to doubt and to question all things. God wants us to give us an opportunity to still trust him and believe that he knows what's best for his children. He knows what's best. It can be hard, it can be tough. Doesn't mean that we don't still have questions. But that's where his grace is poured in. Just back to our story in Acts chapter 12. Peter had this kind of faith that I'm describing. How do we know? Look at verse 6. When Herod was about to bring him out to get him killed, Peter was sleeping. I don't know if I would be resting peacefully if I knew the next day I might get my head chopped off. I don't know. I wonder if Peter was the only one not awake that night in Jerusalem. I wonder. Yes, he did get confused when he woke up. Yes, he was confused. But please, please take note, his faith was in God rather than a specific answer to prayer. His faith was in God. God knows best. Yes, we must take note and take into account, friends, that no doubt the church had also prayed for James. But for his faith, James had been killed. Peter would have known that. Of course he would have known that. But Peter was now mature enough in God that he knew that God would hear his and the church's prayers, and he could sleep because his faith was big enough to trust God's will. God knows best, and God is able. Nothing is too hard for God. Believe that? Do you believe that? He was going to trust God even if he wasn't rescued, because he knew God was for him. God was big, God was great. We've been singing that song. God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that he cannot do. What can God do, not do? Because we've just sung, there's nothing that God cannot do but sin. God can't sin. God can't lie. God is faithful. God can step into your circumstance, your family circumstance, your job circumstance right now. Hallelujah. True faith in prayer hinges, friends, on our trust in God, on his sovereignty, on his goodness, and on his rightness. God does no wrong. We trust his rightness. Times may be bad, but God is good. Prayer involves us in widening our hearts to God. Keep on praying. Jim, keep on praying. Yeah, make sure you have others who are praying with you. Pray with zeal, pray with purpose. You know the saying, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. 1 day without prayer makes 1 week. 7 days certainly does make us weak if we haven't prayed. Weak in faith, we start doubting. Just a bit of counsel for us all. Brother, sister, boy, friends, girls, do not pray for easy lives. Just pray to be stronger people. That's what the persecuted church are doing right now. They're praying, keep me strong. Keep my family faithful to you, Lord. I'm trusting you. I'm going to see what you will do. This is the kind of prayer that took place in the early church. We need it today. A miracle might be outside the very same door that God has seemed to shut. A miracle may be waiting for you outside the very same door that appears that he has shut. Persistent prayer. Do I believe? Do you believe God is in control? Some of us need to come into better connection, I suggest, with this awesome God. And that only happens as we get into his word, as we grow in our faith, and honest, persistent praying. Knock, knock. Is there a miracle waiting to happen? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray. Forgive our lack of prayer. Lord, stir us up. I'm guilty of this. You're such a good God. And we don't pray to you, Lord, to twist your arm. We don't pray as if you were a puppet at the end of a long piece of string. No, no, no. You are sovereign, but you have chosen to release your power, to release faith when your children pray. Thank you, Lord. You know each circumstance of my brothers, sisters here before you, Lord, and their families and their friends and so on, and the community here, Lord. Help us to see God. Help us to be honest before you, Lord. Help us to persist in praying. Lord, help us not that we limit you in our asking, and neither limit you in your answering. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes. We're just led in a song now, and just continue to seek God and see what God will do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just worship Jesus. Listen to Karen, and she leads us in a song.